Snack Bar Games Podcast. Welcome to Snack Bar Games Podcast, episode 225. I'm Graham, and this week I'm joined by Sean, Andrew, and Matt is back with us this week. Matt, having some big stuff happening this week. He is heading off to cover PAX East. You want to tell him a little bit of what you're doing up there before we get going?
In addition to all of my appointments and stuff and hanging out with industry people, I will be just tooling around with like half of my sketch group and a bunch of other comics from Philly. We're going up there to just have fun, and I want to meet anybody who has ever been to our website. If you read Snack Bar Games at all, I want you to tweet at me at my Twitter at Mr. Matt J and let me know where you are, and we will totally bro out and go to the 1UP meetup and have drinks.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely.
I don't know what else I'm gonna do. I mean, we're gonna be having fun. We're gonna be tooling around.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking.
A buddy of mine is bringing his board game that he designed, so we'll be showing that off.
Ah, cool.
This will be funny. We're gonna have the camera on a lot, so we're gonna get a lot of cool video content.
That is great. So we will see some of that over the next week or two, I think. But all right. So our topic for this episode is the state of the JRPG in 2012. We decided to do this episode because of all the stuff that's been happening lately, with all the news and announcements, and then with the recent release of Tales of Graces F and the this week release of Xenoblade Chronicles. It just seemed like a good time to take stock of the genre and how it's going there. You know what? Let's go ahead and start and share that news just in case you haven't heard about it. Sean, JRPG news happening.
All right. Well, first up is another Kickstarter project. Yes. This time, Monkey Paw Games is going to be using Kickstarter to work on a physical release of Class of Heroes 2, their current localization project.
Right. So, Monkey Paw, if you're unfamiliar, has been largely working on bringing import and kind of rare PS1 games to PlayStation Network. Working with a lot of the people from Gaijin Works, which is basically the remainder of the old Working Designs, and they've been bringing some like really weird Japanese games to the service, like puzzle games about like little Japanese girls.
Choiniki.
Yeah, shooters about little Japanese girls, and but then they're also, you know, they also got Arc the Lad. And I believe Alundra is on the service and things like that.
Do they do the Mega Man games that are up there?
I'm not sure about that. They may have, but I'm not sure. But I know they did release, I believe. They were working on something last year, and I forget what it was. But now they're actually getting into publishing sort of modern games.
Burger Time.
Right, Burger Time.
Burger Time RPG. What everyone's been waiting for.
I mean, they did Burger Time HD, Burger Time World Tour, I guess was what it was called. They did the publishing on that last year.
Okay. I just thought Matt was bringing up Burger Time. Just
no, just yeah, I just love Burger Time so much.
I was very confused.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot that existed, actually. Okay.
But yeah, so now they're trying to get into kind of the old Working Designs mold of bringing some interesting RPGs from previous generation. And they're bringing Class of Heroes 2. And basically, I want to hear you guys' thoughts on this whole thing.
Not the first game I would have picked, but, you know, it's better than nothing, right? It's a start.
It's their phrasing of this whole thing that bothers me a little bit, because the whole they're putting it as like, if you care about JRPGs, you should donate to this, and that's why a lot of like news sources are picking it up. They're like, hey, people, if you want to support JRPGs in the West, then donate to this. but I love JRPGs, and I don't want to play that one JRPG. It makes me, right. Even though I know it's just phrasing, it makes me feel kind of guilty for not giving them up for it.
Right. I mean, definitely, there are a few things that make this a little strange. One, the first class of heroes was brought over here by Atlas, and it was not a very good game. Now, Monkey Paw and Gaijin Works keep saying that Class of Heroes 2 is a much better game. I tend to believe them, but generally it's not one of those things people have been clamoring for over here. Two, also, it's a first-person dungeon crawler, which has not really been like the prototypical Japanese RPG in any way. It really started as a Western thing. And yes, Acquire has kind of taken that as their own thing. It's become more popular in Japan than it is here with stuff like Wizardry and another Megaten. Game will actually... Right, the original Megaten stuff.
Well, some of the more recent ones, too. Like the DS
right.
one.
Right,
yeah,
but...
Strange Journey.
Yeah.
Right, but I guess the more traditional Megaten stuff. Not any of the admittedly more popular at this point spinoffs. But generally, it's not like, this is a JRPG, I really like those. It's not exactly that. And then... I don't know. the whole thing's just kind of exasperating. There are projects that would have totally taken off.
Yeah.
And I get the feeling with this is they could get the license for this.
Yeah.
And this was the best they could do as a small company. And it was the only one they could just be like, all right, well, we can just pay for it and just release it digitally if it doesn't come through.
Yeah, I think they're like riding the Kickstarter wave in some ways, because I was thinking about why they would do this now, and it's like in the last couple of years they've really come to prominence, like because they were just like doing PSN stuff and whatever, and then they became known as the guys bringing over the Japanese stuff, and now they want to be a bigger publisher and put out something like this. But I think like a year from now that would have been a better idea, but they're really just jumping on it because of the whole Kickstarter thing,
right? And one of the things I think this really shows is, as much as people say JRPGs are dead, and I think we'll get into this more later, but the more I think about what games they could have gotten, there are a couple properties I really want over here. Kyria Chronicles 3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now that Sega's laying off a ton of people,
yeah,
maybe they'll outsource that.
I don't know. There are a few things... largely those properties are kind of locked down in major publishers.
Mention the Legend of Heroes games. Like there's another the sequel that I know Sean wants desperately. I haven't played Trails in the Sky, but like I don't know what rights Exceed has to that stuff. If they were just publishing the Trails in the Sky, or they have like a license agreement for more games in the series. So I was hoping they have something. Yeah, I mean, that's what I originally was hoping when these rumors started swirling about Monkey Paw getting involved in Kickstarter, bringing over a JRPG that people would be interested in, and you know, I don't know, that's the first thing I thought of. But
right,
yeah. I know that Exceed is working on a localization for Trails in the Sky 2. Just they're doing it on the side while they work on stuff that they think will actually make money.
Yeah, they talked about it a bit.
Yeah,
okay. They don't have a timeline for it. They're just working on it whenever they have. People that aren't working on stuff at the time.
That's worked for them before, though.
Yeah.
They've done, like, because they'll do a lot of free work and then be like, look what we did already. Give us the license.
Yeah.
A lot of companies have done that, and it works out sometimes. It rarely works, but when it does, it's usually something we want.
Right.
Yeah.
But I guess the point I was getting at was, basically, if you think about it, most of the stuff that we want has been at least licensed and is being worked on to get over here so that... Really, the best thing that we're not getting, if the best thing we're not getting is Class of Heroes 2, we're doing all right.
Yeah.
I guess that's the main thing is, I think maybe, Matt, you were saying maybe like a year or so from now. I feel like a year or so ago, it would have been a lot more interesting. There were a lot of properties where it's like, well, we're not getting this, we're not getting this, we're also not getting this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, we're getting a lot of the stuff.
Yeah.
I hope this is successful. I don't want it, but I would love for Gaijin Works to be able to put together working design style box sets for games. And if this is successful, maybe they can get a better game.
Yeah, but, I do miss those collector's editions.
Anyway, all right.
I thought you should take this opportunity real quick to brag about us calling this.
Yes,
because we totally called this.
I'm gonna take it. Yeah. So last fall, we wrote an editorial about how Kickstarter should be used for localization.
Well, you wrote it. You can say you wrote it.
I did. I wrote it. Fine.
It's all great.
Yes. But no, it seemed like one of those things where, I mean, even before the whole Tim Schafer thing, I realized you can get a pretty decent amount of money from Kickstarter, but not like major release development money, but localization money, like, you know, just some translation work and some, you know, light marketing for a digital only release of some sort. Like that seems like an amount of money that's doable.
Yeah.
It is. That said, Monkey Paw is not doing that.
No.
They are doing the physical deluxe edition, and that's fine. I understand why they're doing it. But if they were just saying, here, you can get this game, and here's the minimum amount we need for it. No, they're asking for all the money to do it and to make this impractical physical edition of a PSP game.
I think the point they're trying to make is this could lead to them trying to fund actual localization projects through Kickstarter, or at least I would hope so. But yeah. Again, I don't want to support this game. I want to support them. I don't want to support the game.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll kick them a few bucks right before it ends. But
yeah. That's kind of how I feel too. Yeah, it's like I don't want to play it. I like the idea behind this experiment.
Yeah,
but it's not like when Tim Schafer was like, "I'm making a point and click adventure, and I'm Tim Schafer," and I was like, "I need to make money right now to give to you." You know, this is just a game I don't really care about.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah,
I'm in the same boat. I want this to work, but I don't really care about the actual game.
Yeah, well, if you want a game that's very, very similar to that and will be available on as a PSP digital release and as a 3DS digital release. Exceed might have something for you, right, Sean?
Yeah, they're releasing Unchained Blades on the 3DS and PSP digitally later this year.
Which is kind of almost the same game, from what I can tell. Like anime-inspired, you know, first-person dungeon crawler.
But this one's Unchained.
It is. Yeah, it is interesting because both of these were retail releases in Japan. I think this is the first 3DS retail release to be released digital only in another territory.
Definitely.
I can't think. I would be really happy if that stuff starts happening.
Me too.
I don't know if it's this that I want.
Again, yeah. The genre is not for me, but you know.
Yeah.
It's cool that it's happening. I mean, like you said, Graham, if you think about it, like if this is the stuff we're actually not getting until now, then we're really not missing all that much to begin with.
Yeah, and if it's released as an affordable, you know, digital only release, then maybe I'll give it a chance. You know, I don't think I'd pay $59 for it.
No.
But you know,
I'm thinking like 20 to 30 tops.
Yeah, I mean maybe 15. I mean,
Sure.
I don't know how expensive they're going to make an eShop game.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll see. Before we move on and talk about some of the crazy stuff, Sean, one more news announcement, I believe.
The last one is that NIS America has revealed three new PS3 RPGs, one which will be a digital only and two which will have a retail release. The first one is called Legacista.
Yep, that's a game.
That is a crazy name.
It'll also be a dungeon crawler.
Yep.
And it'll take place in a future world.
Okay.
There's no science or technology. It's like
that's
magic.
What the future's like. Yep.
Yeah, and you will have an android and a bean sprout on your team.
I like that team.
I like that team too.
I want to get behind that team.
Not $59 worth, but
no.
Maybe 15 or 20.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. This is like that one PSP RPG that was digital only. I can't remember the name of it.
Cladden?
Yes. There were two of those, right? Yeah.
Yes.
And they said that the gameplay should be similar to that series.
Okay. Well, those were very good.
Yeah.
At least according to Justin, who reviewed both of those. But yeah. So NIS announce really weird stuff.
They do.
Because that's what they do.
Yeah. I think the one that stands out to me the most is the third one, which we probably won't get till later this year or early next year, which is from the Disgaea team.
Right.
It's not a strategy game. Yes, and it's not a strategy game. It's actually going to be real-time action-based. That's kind of crazy to me. But
okay.
Yeah. I like a lot of the concepts behind their games, but I could never get to them. Like, I was never a huge fan of Disgaea. Phantom Brave seemed cool, but again, just the gameplay style was my thing. But an action game from them, that sounds kind of cool. Well, not action, but action RPG anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is strange. Every time I look at the NIS lineup, I once again realize that we're kind of getting about everything over here. Like, if there were ever a title not to bring over here, it's usually the entire NIS lineup. I'm really glad it comes over here, but like, how does that sell? I think they've realized that they appeal to their, you know, we all go to anime conventions niche and just like, all right, we're just going to hit that hard. Like, everyone's going to want to buy all of them. We need to appeal to many people. We just need to appeal to everyone who will buy all of them.
there is a group of people, probably a small group of people, but a decent number of people that will buy any NAS game, no matter what the quality.
Yeah, I know a couple of them.
Yeah, and nothing wrong with that. Just, you know, they got their fans.
Yes, there is. There's absolutely something wrong with that.
What?
So there's absolutely something wrong with buying any game, regardless of quality.
Well, you want to support the developer. Right? I mean, come on.
I guess.
I don't know.
I don't think you should. Well, yeah, but okay, even if you want to support someone, I don't think you should do it by buying something you don't want.
Yeah.
You should support them, because then otherwise, why are you supporting them?
Well,
if they're putting out games you don't want.
Who's to say they don't want them? It's just they might not be as excited about them as other games.
Yeah. Well, you know what NIS published game people didn't buy, regardless of quality? Sakura Wars.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
A moment of silence for Sakura.
Everyone gets real sad and silent. Never going to happen. How many of those games did we only ever get?
Yeah.
Was one of them?
Yes. That was the fifth game. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they, for the West, ported that game to the Wii.
Yeah.
That game did not come out in the Wii in Japan. NIS America ported that thing to the Wii for the U.S. because that's where people wanted RPGs.
I guess,
in the West.
And it's even, like, one kind of made for the West in a way. Like, it's all... Well, I mean, it's in like, a really tongue-in-cheek, funny way. Like, it's one of those very much, like, how Japan sees America games. But that's...
Yeah.
People should have latched onto that more.
Yeah,
it's maybe just sad that so many fans were demanding Sakura Wars games in the West for a long time, and then one comes out, and then nobody buys it, except for people like us who were like me in particular. I was just really curious about it. I had no idea. Like, I got it from Amazon launch. I was like, I just want to dive into this game. I have no idea anything about it, but it seems interesting, and people love the series. And you're the ones that supported it, and then everyone else. Supposedly everyone else that wanted the series over, most of them didn't seem to care at that point.
Yeah, you know, there was a PSP port of 1 and 2 together.
Yeah, that should have been released.
That should have been on Kickstarter. I'd pay $59 for that one.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, I would too, actually.
That's one, like, maybe Sega is locking down Valkyria Chronicles because that's, like, a big series for them. Sakura Wars is dead.
It was
incredibly large in Japan for about, 10 years.
Yeah.
But they haven't released one for, you know, 5 years at least. I don't know when that port came out.
The fifth one came out for the PS2 in Japan, like, 2005. We just got it 2 years ago, so.
But I do know, you know, like, the PSP port was after that at some point, 06 or 07. But anyway, lots of sighs in this episode.
That is sad.
But anyway, now you know what? Let's go ahead and talk about some of the newest JRPGs we got, and they're pretty good, from what I can tell. Andrew, let's go ahead and start with this week's prime attraction, Xenoblade Chronicles.
Yes. I'm going to start by saying that everyone should buy Xenoblade Chronicles.
Okay.
Every I don't care if you don't own a Wii. Just buy it. Just buy it. Just do it. And then buy a Wii so you can play it, because it's really awesome.
Yeah, actually, this game is going to... The thing I said earlier about supporting someone even if you don't play the game, I'm totally going back on that regarding this game. Like, this game, it's a miracle we got it, and someone needs to know that we care that we got it.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, more so, I think it's important that people buy this one, and I think this one is incredible. But just as a side note, I think it will be even more important to support The Last Story this summer.
Yeah.
Because I think Nintendo's pretty much already written off this experience. From what I've heard, there are a lot of grumblings where it's like, no, we didn't really get the pre-order attention we wanted. But if it can be a phenomenal success for XE to release The Last Story, then maybe we can open up an avenue to get this kind of stuff in the future.
Yeah, XE partnering with companies like Nintendo or other big
publishers. Yeah, just Nintendo. Just Nintendo.
Or just Nintendo, yeah, sure.
Yeah, anyway. So, back. Xenoblade, Magnificent, I think.
Xenoblade is... I've already talked about it way back in February, I think.
Right.
It's January or something like that. Right. But, I mean, I could reiterate a lot of what I said. It's very, very open world. It's kind of MMO-ish in its design philosophy, but it's not... The biggest drawback for me, which isn't really a problem because it's side content, but the side quests were a little tedious, and that's where the biggest MMO comparison comes from, because it's kind of like, oh, you do this side quest and you have to collect this many things or defeat this many monsters in an area, but you don't have to go back and talk to that person again once you finish them, so it's kind of nice.
Yeah.
But the main story, the main missions, and the battle system in particular are all fantastic. I want to compare it to Final Fantasy XII and the fact that it's auto attack, but then you have all these other different options to choose from in the battle system, different special attacks and healing abilities and other magic abilities that kind of blend together, and it adds like a lot of strategy to it that I was surprised with. Like I had no idea what the battle system was like going into this, but it's a lot of fun, and you know, just exploring this world, even if you don't care about the side quests, you'll probably find yourself exploring, because each area is gigantic and there's a lot to do, and you can fast travel, so you want to go back to an area from the beginning of the game right when you're at the end, you can easily do that, no problem. It's taking everything that was great about the genre and then bringing it to the current gen of kind of the state of the RPG in general, not just JRPGs, but like Western RPGs with different like things like fast travel and things like that, that kind of get people into those games more than JRPGs. So it's a game that people that don't even really love JRPGs can get into. Like if they haven't played them in a long time, you might be able to get into it. I don't know. It's really good. I mean, yeah, buy it, buy it.
Buy it.
Buy it.
Yeah, it's only... Is it $50?
Yeah.
Yes.
And it is only available at GameStop and through Nintendo directly.
And is a limited release.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
I know The Last Story is going to be a limited release, but... okay. So yeah, definitely...
But buy it now. Just
buy it now.
Then you'll have one.
It'll be out on the 6th, which is this Friday, which is another one of those weird Nintendo Friday releases, but, you know, eh.
Yeah, there is no rhyme or reason to the Nintendo release schedule. It's like, well, usually it's Sunday, but sometimes we feel like releasing stuff on Friday.
Sometimes there's Mondays too.
Yeah, what was the last Monday?
That was
Rhythm Heaven, right?
Rhythm Heaven was Monday, and then Fortune Street before that.
Yeah, I don't understand anything about, like,
they have a dartboard with Sunday, Monday, and Friday, and then they throw the dart for each game release.
Never Tuesday. Never the day anyone else.
Never Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Those are bad.
Sometimes Wednesday when they say Monday.
Oh, right. Sometimes Amazon doesn't actually ship games out till Wednesday.
Or Nintendo doesn't ship games out.
True.
That happened with... I'm trying to remember. There was something
with Fortune
Street. Yeah, it did. I think it happened with Rhythm Heaven, too, where it's just like you go around, like, no one has this game. It's 2 days after release. I'm like, where is it? No.
Some cases they don't even know they're supposed to get that game, like Rhythm Heaven. Which,
yeah. Ah. But anyway.
Nintendo's.
Yep. Great. All right. You know what? I want to get to the big conversation, but I do want to talk a little bit about Tales of Graces F. Came out a few weeks ago, and Sean, you've been playing that, and I believe from your review that goes live later this week, basically it's about as good as the Tales series has been?
Pretty much. I would say Vesperia, it is about equal to Vesperia in terms of quality.
Okay.
But then again, Vesperia is also my favorite RPG, JRPG of this generation, so... It had high things to keep up at.
So now is Graces now your second favorite?
Yes, it is now my second favorite.
Wait till you play Xenoblade.
I'm playing it on Friday.
Okay. Matt, you seem like you have something to say about that.
About Tales of Graces F?
Or about Vesperia?
About Vesperia? No, I didn't make any noise.
Okay.
Oh. It was the ghost.
I've never played a Tales game, actually.
What?
You need to.
I own one. I own the GBA Tales of Phantasia, I think.
That's not a good one.
It's not good? I only have it because I got it when
it is
when
not the worst was
liquidating
one.
Their GBA library.
Yeah, it's not terrible, but it's not a good port. Even if you like Tales of Phantasia, it's not a good port of that game.
It is, as I understand it, the only English language port of that game, though.
Yeah, it's like the fifth port of the game.
Yeah.
And the game came out in the 90s.
So it's probably better than trying to play a Japanese copy if you don't know Japanese.
Well, there are translation patches for other versions of that game. You know, yeah.
Right.
They're available.
but I mean, honestly, I've played some of the GBA version. It's not bad at all. It's solid. It is still better than Tales of Symphonia, Dawn of the New World, and Tales of the World, Radiant Mythology. And
nobody cares about those ones.
Yeah, but it's better than those. I would say it's better than Tales of Legendia, but
yes.
Okay, we're okay with that.
I don't think many people like Legendia either.
Okay.
If honestly, bad. If you want a console version, I mean, I think Abyss is the most popular that you could probably find, maybe fairly easily. I know it was out of print for a while, but I think they have since reprinted it.
Yeah, and it's available on the 3DS.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's a 3DS version.
Yep. But, yeah, so, Sean, Tales of Graces F. Solid.
Tales of Graces F. Very solid.
Does it do anything to modernize the Tales experience that really has kind of been the same for a number of installments?
It adds an F to the end of the title.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's great. Sold.
Well, aside from the F, they also got rid of the free run in battles.
Okay.
So you're always fighting on it's a 3D arena that you battle in, but it's you fight on a 2D plane. You move back and forth along that. Like a lot of fighting games do, I think, from
what
I've heard.
I mean, there were versions of the game that worked like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember. Was it Legendia?
Yeah, I think it was.
There was
Legend.
A transition period. It was sometime between Symphonia and Vesperia where they were kind of evolving this thing. I liked the old style 2D system because it was like back or front, and like I never saw much of a tactical advantage to having a free run in that game.
No, not really.
I like
the only time there was in Vesperia was to avoid an attack or run away from an area attack.
Right, but it just seemed like a lot of it was really kind of clunky, and like for some reason enemies would just fly around you and get you kind of stuck, and I don't know. There was something elegant about the 2D version of that battle system. So
yeah, maneuverability,
it takes it back.
Maneuverability in Tales battle systems in general has never been super great, so if they get rid of that, that's fine by me.
Yeah, they get rid of that. The only way to change the plane of attack is to evade an attack, which... in addition to allowing you to, you know, not get hit and hurt, also gives you back chain points, which are your attack points.
Okay.
Without chain points, you can't attack. You have to just sit there and get hit.
Okay.
Fun.
And So there's no magic points either. Everything just uses certain amounts of chain points. The more powerful it is, the later it is in the chain that you can use it, and the more points it requires to actually use.
So you're saying this game gets rid of the free run,
yes,
and gets rid of a few unnecessary variables in combat?
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
So it in a way
those
streamlines
are great
the best. Yeah, it streamlines the Tails battle experience, which I'm okay with.
But
yes,
keep some of the things that they have done right going forward, but without doing that JRPG thing of, oh, it's a sequel, we need to add more battle systems.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Just everyone, don't do that. You don't need to add more currency, more, like, let's add another gauge to the screen. No. That's not gameplay. Anyway. But yeah, so
The battles are in real time. You control
okay.
one person.
Yep.
Everyone else uses gambits, for lack of a better word. So you can assign them.
Is the AI better than it has been in previous Tails games? Because that's one of the big complaints. Like in Vesperia, some of my spellcasters were a little too magic happy. They kind of used like their biggest spells when they didn't need to, and like used all of their magic stuff.
Well, since there's no magic points anymore, you don't have to worry
yeah,
about that.
Yeah, true, but I'm just like, just in general, like, is the AI...
They seem to be. When I need healing, my healer heals me. When they need to use a specific element on an enemy, they use that specific element instead of one of the other ones.
That's good. Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
All right. Also, you can change who you are controlling mid-battle. You don't need to create random items like you did in Vesperia in order to get that right.
That's good.
You can just pause it, say, hey, I want to use this guy instead, and do it. Each one plays a little bit differently with their combos, and some of them have timing things that you have to figure out, so I just like using the main character, Asbel.
Well, let me ask. In previous games, I mean, it's been nice to switch playable characters and things like that, but there were mm-hmm. a lot of characters, especially like casters, that were just worthless to use as player characters. Mm-hmm. That if you really wanted to control the casting, you just... you know, mapped it to one of your secondary action buttons or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you tried to actually move those people around, they're really slow and they really wouldn't like be able to attack very well. Are those people playable now?
Yeah, you can play as any one of them. But you can also map
like,
them to a certain
like,
direction if you wanted to.
Are they playable in like a qualitative sense?
Are they fun to play as?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't actually gotten all the players yet.
Okay.
But the ones I have played are enjoyable.
Okay.
I prefer using my sword.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I stick with Asbel for the most part.
Okay. I was just curious about that because I am that person that at least once every couple years or so tries to play 4-player Tails game.
I play every Tails game in co-op now. It's the way to go.
Yeah. But, I mean, the thing is, if you, how many players do you usually use for your co-op sessions, though? Two?
Oh, yeah, just me and someone else, yeah.
Yeah. That usually is fine, because you can find two characters that are worth using, but it's
yeah.
when that fourth person gets stuck with the, you know, the character
oh, yeah.
that largely is just supposed to stand back and cast first aid all the time. It's like, why am I here? I'm going to leave. I'm going to stop controlling that and, you know, pull out my 3DS and
tape down
play
the
Unshade Blades.
Yeah, that's,
sure.
that's exactly what's going to happen, actually.
Yep. Anyway, all right. So both of those worth getting? Sorry
yes.
for your wallets, but you probably just got to bite the bullet and do this one. Unless you don't have a PS3, in which case...
Go buy one.
I mean...
In which case your wallet will hate you even more.
Yeah, sorry. All right.
Yes.
But this brings us to our final discussion. JRPGs now. I have a lot of complicated thoughts about this, but I want to start with you guys. Matt, what do you think about the genre and where it is now?
I think for a little while it was in a weird spot because, well, mainly because not a lot of people were buying them because the same reason. I mean, I've been reviewing an adventure game, so I've been thinking about those more than usual, but like the same JRPGs kind of were in a rut for a little while for the same reason, because while other genres were taking the best parts of them. Like,
right.
For both genres, it was the heavy focus and story. Other games were taking that, but adding other parts to it, while these genres were kind of just stagnating and not evolving in any way.
Right.
I think that we're finally seeing, like, most facets of the JRPG, or most companies that publish JRPGs, are really breaking out in a lot of cool experimental ways.
Yeah.
Which before, like, once in a while you would see a cool company that would do that, like, you know, Earthbound or whatever would come out. And but now it's like, you know, everyone hated the last Final Fantasy game because it was so different, which is not usually the reason people hate the Final Fantasy game that comes out. Or, like, I mean, Xenoblade seems to embrace a lot of, like, contemporary game ideas, mainly
right.
consolidating a lot of things and just playing really fun. The Persona games do that in a cool way, especially Persona 3 Portable, which instead of sacrificing a lot of good things to put it in a portable thing or just make it look crappier or whatever, like, they would usually do to make something portable or wait for a platform that could let them put a PS2 game in full onto it. They cut out all of the bullshit. So, like, you're not running around the town that's totally unnecessary. You can just do a drop-down menu and go right there.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're getting I'm blanking on the name. The Studio Ghibli game.
Ni no Kuni.
Yeah, Ni no Kuni. And we're getting stuff like that. And I think
right.
that now is, like, it was really crappy to be a fan of JRPGs for a while, and now it's going to be really awesome. Because
right.
in addition to getting a bunch of cool stuff, and like you said, like, there's not a lot that isn't coming over here now. Because now, I guess, game companies are, I mean, especially Japanese game companies are finally listening to fans, which they never did before. So now we're getting all the cool stuff, and also we have all the cool old stuff, because we have stuff like the PS1 classics on PSN.
Right.
We have the Virtual Console getting all the NES and Super Nintendo RPGs. And, you know, like, you can have thousands and thousands of hours of gameplay at the tip of your fingers at any minute.
Right.
And that's why people like JRPGs, because they hold your attention for a long time. So I think that in terms of there's a lot for you to play right now, I think we're doing great.
Right. And one thing you didn't mention, but I think you're also excited about, is that it seems like JRPG people are finally noticing that the PC exists.
Yeah.
Totally.
We have an Ease game on
right.
Steam. How yeah, crazy so is
that's
that?
That's crazy.
You know, we have Ease and all the stuff that Carpe Folger works on. And,
yep.
I mean, even kind of the, you know, homage games like Cthulhu Saves the World kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. Like, indie RPGs are a thing
right.
now.
Yeah.
That was like the last genre to really get hit by the indie things, because it's kind of the hardest one to make.
Right. What you said earlier about kind of other genres being able to tell a good story, I think the other thing that RPGs had going for them for a while that they kind of had as a crutch was the idea of, you know, progression
mm-hmm.
and having that level up thing. And that's in every game in the world now.
Level up your guns.
Yeah.
Call of Duty.
And I do like how JRPGs now are actually experimenting with the battle system, which is what they needed to do the whole time.
Yeah.
But not just adding in new menus and gauges, but actually having, like, all right, our battle system is going to be, you know, rhythm controlled now, or our battle system is going to, you know, basically be kind of like God of War or something. Like,
I was going to mention, like, this is a game that's we're probably not going to talk about in full for a while, but, like, The Last Story, I just finished that, and
yeah.
It has a cover system. It has a cover system that's actually useful and adds strategy to the battles, which is something that's, like, just weird to me. I don't know. Cover system
yeah.
in an RPG, you know, the way the magic system works in that game. Lots of experimentation, and a lot of it is paying off.
And I think they realize, like, it's okay. It's okay
yeah.
now. That doesn't make it not an RPG. It's okay. You have a lot of things that are very RPG in this game, you know. So it's nice to see. You know, I do start to worry about the RPG going forward. Not in the next year or so. Again, we're getting some really great stuff. It's basically this. The DS and the PSP were such phenomenal systems for RPGs. And I think that was largely because of the low barrier to entry, that there could be, you know, low budget productions. And that's why a lot of, say, the PS2 stuff kind of moved over, was because, you know, they don't need to make HD assets. They don't need, you know, crazy amounts of CG or something like that. And I just don't feel like the 3DS or the Vita really have that kind of ability. I don't know if you guys had any thoughts on
so
that.
So you think because of the increase in technology in general, just for game consoles and portables, that we're going to be seeing a lot less of the kind of niche JRPGs we saw on the PSP?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's hard to say that because, I mean, sure, you could think of it that way. You could think of a Japanese developer holding the Vita and looking at the Vita and saying, man, we really need to use the full power of this. But in general, JRPGs, aside from maybe Square stuff, have never really done that. I mean, even on the PS2, like they've you know, gone fully 3D from like some PS1 RPGs, but they never, I don't know, they never really tried to take full advantage of hardware's capabilities. And I think we could still see great 2D games on the Vita, just because it's supposed to be like the portable PS3 doesn't mean it needs to have, you know, the kind of graphics power of an Uncharted game.
Yeah, no, I definitely hope so. I worry a little bit.
It's understandable, though.
I'm worrier.
Because it's still expensive to develop for either way, so it's... Yeah.
There is a certain also thing to worry about, that with the ability to play all these old JRPGs through PSN and Steam and what have you, that maybe there will be less of a desire to make some new ones, and we'll see a lot more re-releases, compilations.
But I mean, that
double-edged sword, I guess.
That makes money. So I mean,
yeah.
If it keeps those developers alive, so if a company can release a compilation of their whatever series they have that was once really popular, and it could lead them to sparking interest in a new entry in that game, then, you know, I more power to them.
Yeah.
At the same time, it could just lead them to wanting to make more ports of games instead of actually wanting to make new games, because it's less costly and it'll make them money. So yeah, I get what you're saying.
I don't think that re-releases of JRPGs are going to be a big thing, at least not for a while. I mean, yeah, we're getting Final Fantasy X and Persona 4, but most of the ones that people love were on the PS1, and it seems like no one wants to remake any of those games because because you have to fully remake it from the ground up, you know, and no one really wants to do that. They'd rather just plop it onto the PSN for $10, which I'm fine with. I mean,
even though if they remake something like Final Fantasy VII, it'll sell like crazy.
It'll freaking print billions of dollars.
Exactly.
I don't know why they don't want to do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's one of those things they can only pull that trick once. If they make a mediocre remake of Final Fantasy VII, it's over.
Yeah.
I still think that 10 is a test run for that.
Maybe.
It's possible.
That's not a full remake, but that game doesn't need to be fully remade.
But a lot of it is getting rebuilt, though.
Yeah.
The battle system and stuff. Like, enough that you could still subscribe to that theory.
Oh, okay.
But also, I mean, the HD releases we've gotten, none of them have been that big of games. I think it's mainly because they want to put as many as they can onto one disc, you know? Yeah. But, like, we have, like, people have been asking for the Kingdom Hearts one, and we haven't gotten that one yet. I don't know, maybe Japanese companies just aren't as receptive to it as, you know, like, people, or companies that get to see more of the American side of things. Like, even though Sony's a Japanese company, they still, I mean, at this point, isn't most of their... buyership in America?
Yeah, or Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the issue with especially the Kingdom Hearts series, is that I think companies are more willing to do HD re-releases of previous games if they don't have current games for you to buy. And they keep putting out Kingdom Hearts spinoffs. They want you to buy Dream Drop Distance. So they're not going to let you buy the original Kingdom Hearts again, because you need to buy this new Kingdom Hearts. And did you try Birth by Sleep? That was a game. You should play that one.
This could be just a difference in the mindset of the Japanese developers, but like the God of War collection was the first big HD re-release, I think, for the PS3. Yeah. And that came out, right before God of War 3. So,
yeah.
There's stuff like that.
I do think there is a difference between the Japanese and American markets in that way.
Yeah.
Whereas I think... re-releasing that before 3 helped. I mean, like, Was it before 3?
It was before 3, I think.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
It was a little while before 3.
Either way, American sales are much more concentrated in the first week. So there's a lot about like building hype and marketing and then making sure people like are aware of these games and have caught up and want to buy the game now. Not only because of there being more sales in the first week, but also because of the American market having such quick drop-offs in price. So that like sometimes like not even a week in, your game will drop from 60 to 40. And so it's really important for them to get those first week sales. In Japan, I don't think it's ever been that. And what's more, JRPGs are usually well above standard game price. I believe what Final Fantasy games usually run somewhere around the equivalent of $120-$125 when they come out.
There's no MSRP in Japan.
Yeah.
It's all whatever the hell they want to charge for it, really.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy games tend to be $20 or $30 American dollars more over there than other games.
And then people buy them. And
people buy them.
People in the U.S. wonder why we don't get some of those small market games. It's because we don't have that kind of system where, you know, people will just pay $30 more per game to get the game they want for their small market. Kickstarter's kind of a way they could do that. They could get more from people who really want it. But maybe it just needs to build a little more steam as a normal way for people to do things here.
But I think going back to the PC example, I think that will be a great way to see a lot of these kind of smaller market JRPGs.
Yeah.
Find a new audience. Like I think Ys already sell. It's only been out for a week and it's already done really well, probably as well as it did on the PSP and the time span of a week.
Is it just me or is that always what happens on Steam?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, absolutely.
Alan Wake, especially, is another big recent example. Cthulhu and Breath of Death 7, in a single day, they sold as much as they did on the indie game market on Xbox Live. Mm-hmm. So,
and East was only $15 on Steam too.
Yeah, good price.
It's a great price for that. That's a great game.
Yeah.
Both in Falgana. Yeah.
And I mean, what's more, not only do they sell a whole bunch and they sell it quickly, but from what I know, they get a much larger percentage of the money on Steam than they would on, say, PSN or XBLA.
Oh, yeah.
I have no problem playing games on PC if that's the way I can get them.
Better than no games at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I know that on XBLA they get about 70% and Microsoft keeps 30%.
I think I've heard some more exploitative percentages than that.
Really?
And there's also a bunch of other stuff to figure out. Like, everything that you see for it on there, they pay for in some. Like, just putting a patch out. What did Tim Schafer say that costs on XBLA?
I don't
know. Yeah, Microsoft charges you for it.
Yeah, like everything you do. Like, if you put up any extra content, if you have it on the front page of the thing, like, that all costs the company money.
And this is why.
Not just getting it up there.
This is why XBLA rarely has free DLC.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they would be paying for it.
Actually, there's actually a limit, apparently. The Bastion people, so that Microsoft only allows one free DLC per game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And I think they have to have a certain, like, in terms of achievements, they have to only add a certain number of achievements. They can't be as free to add as many as they want if they had a paid content.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why they charged $1 for the DLC that they gave away for free on Steam for Bastion.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
RPGs are doing good.
Yeah.
They're doing pretty good. It's all things, because 2 years ago, having this conversation would have been all of us all depressed. Like, man.
Yeah.
RPGs are doomed.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, 2 years ago, I think the only decent JRPG I'd played in the years was Vesperia.
And there was a couple of good ones, but they were never very popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, like we said, a lot of the best stuff started coming to DS and PSP, especially in the last couple of years of PSP's life.
Right. The last week, and before that, maybe more DS.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. The PSP has started to turn it on.
Yeah, that's why I got
fine
one.
Fine with me. Yeah.
Took me 6 years to buy one.
Yeah, that said, we're all pretty optimistic about JRPGs. Really like how they're going lately. Is there anything about them right now that you wish would change direction, wish would change that's not doing that right now?
Yes. I wish we'd be getting Trails in the Sky 2 instead of Unchained.
Unchained Blades.
Unchained Blades. They're both Xseed, and they're putting money and time into Unchained Blades instead of Trails in the Sky 2. That makes me so sad.
Yeah, it's going back to the dungeon crawler thing. It's kind of weird that those games are all of a sudden kind of like all coming out at once.
Yeah,
when they've never been huge over here.
They promised us Trails in the Sky 2. They put a trailer for it at the end of Trails in the Sky 1. They have to do it.
They have not failed you yet, Sean.
That's true.
They haven't said it's not happening. So
yes,
that's true. It needs to happen faster though, because I think there's a third one.
I mean, there could be more of a range of aesthetic in JRPGs. You know what I mean? Like it seems like even though we're getting so many of them, a lot of them kind of look the same.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I think we're seeing a lot of interesting aesthetic experimentation in the game industry right now, even from Japanese games, but that it doesn't really seem to happen with RPGs, that we get action games, you know, El Shaddai, you know, yeah. Love it or hate it's it, crazy. It was really interesting looking. But I think JRPGs do rely too much on the let's look like anime thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is easy to crank out. I get that.
It's kind of where the genre started, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just looking like anime. It's that it looks like generic, not very good anime most of the time.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Although I think, again, going back to Ni No Kuni.
Ni No Kuni is a good example.
That is
what I'm saying.
Great.
A good example of what I want, and not of what I'm saying is a problem.
Yeah. Yep. Nope, that's true.
Xenoblade, despite being a Wii game, had a really distinct art style. Like the landscapes and stuff are all really good looking.
Yeah, and the characters look really cool in that game too.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, well, the one thing you can say for Final Fantasy is that they always have a very different aesthetic than that.
But not from themselves.
Yeah.
I think they did an okay job until, say, the PS2 era. At which point I think they hit this aesthetic and just kept with it.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of is the like iterative from Final Fantasy VII aesthetic that I think with 8 and 9 even they tried some different things, but then they're just like, all right, we're going to go back. All right, okay, let's give them really big swords and spiky hair. And
swords are cool.
Then Tetsuya Nomura is like, all right, let's get some buckles on here.
Some zippers.
Buckles on zippers and, yeah.
Yep.
Spiky haired shirtless dude.
Yep.
Yeah.
As long as he has a big sword, it's fine.
I don't know what it is about a larger sword that deals more damage. If it were like a long, thin sword, that seems good.
Sephiroth?
Like a particularly sharp sword, maybe.
Just give him a katana.
You can't portray this sword is sharper than the other unless the other sword is like broken or rusty.
Okay.
You have to make the swords bigger.
But you know what? A rusty sword would like totally cause an infection.
Yeah, that's where the poison modifiers come from.
So we should all try to have an RPG with rusty swords being the... You all got to get these rusty swords.
Get the rusty sword, scrape them, and then run away because you're waiting for them to die really slowly.
rusty swords will be the ultimate weapon instead of the first weapon, huh?
Yeah.
No, that'd be a great battle system. Like you have to attack someone with the rusty sword. They get an infection, and then you have to run away and try to stay away from them for like a week until they die.
Yep.
I support this game. Let's make it happen.
Okay. Let's
go to Kickstarter for it.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know how to program.
I do.
Okay.
I don't know how to make graphics.
I do. Hey, what? Whoa! I think we got
Hey, wait a minute.
I could
game.
Me and Matt can write it.
Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't know how to write anything.
I will copy edit.
All right.
I'll make a really cool case art for it.
We got a game.
Okay.
2013.
Cool. Now we just need music.
Oh yeah, music's important.
Hey, Matt, can you get Tom to do something?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah,
done. Okay, I think we have a game now.
All right.
What's our working title going to be?
Snack bar. An untitled snack bar project.
Mother 4.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, all right.
I'll sell a lot of copies.
Yep. Final Fantasy 15.
Yep. We should just skip ahead to Final Fantasy 20.
Okay.
And let Square do the rest.
Okay.
This is what we're basically saying through this game. We're going to tell them this is what Final Fantasy is going to become. You just have to figure out how to get there for this next 5 games.
By the time we finish this game, we'll have enough money to buy you and make it legal that we call it that.
Yeah.
All right.
All thanks to Kickstarter.
Yep. Thank you. All right. Anything else before we wrap things up?
I like JRPGs.
I do too.
JRPGs are awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, guys, I speaking of JRPGs, I finished Final Fantasy VII a couple weeks ago for the first time ever.
Whoa.
Yeah?
Whoa.
Yeah. Quote-unquote finished. You know how you fight Sephiroth twice?
Yeah.
I beat him once, and then he beat the Christ out of me. And go back so far after he beat you that I was like, screw it, and I just watched the end on YouTube.
Okay.
Close enough.
As far as I'm concerned, I beat it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. Holds up.
Good job. Game. You have a few more to go in the Final Fantasy series, but you know, at the rate they're releasing them, you'll be caught up in no time.
I got a bit into 4. I'm quite a ways into 4, but I got stuck and I kind of.
Now you're going backwards.
Have I gone backwards? No, is it a part of it?
No, you're what? Never mind.
Nope, don't know what you're talking about. okay, in the back. Yeah. No, I'm just going around.
Did you pick those up during the PlayStation Store sale?
No, because like $2 off isn't that much of a sale to me.
Oh, I got them for half off.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I don't have PSN Plus.
Yeah. Right. I'm just waiting for the Kindle. Great PSP game sale.
Yeah. Hey, all those
that was last week during the Final Fantasy sale.
Not exactly. Not if you own Final Fantasy Tactics.
True.
Yeah, I wanted a portable version.
I want the why did XE just make all their games $3 sale, and then I will buy any of them. I bought the ones I really want, but I'll buy the ones I would never intended on buying. That will be money they wouldn't have otherwise, so maybe they should do that.
Are the Persona games on sale, or did they drop the price?
Oh, drop,
that is
the
price drop.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is why I'm excited about a sale now.
Yeah.
So now that they have a price drop, they should put them on sale and cut the price by half again.
Yeah.
Turning PlayStation Store into Steam.
I realize I'm the problem, aren't I? I'm the reason. But you know what? If I want something, I will pay $90 for it. If I only kind of want something, like maybe I should experience this and I like that they released it, then it gets to the point where it's like, you know, maybe if you make it a little cheaper. But yeah.
Whatever works.
It didn't work for Valkyria Chronicles.
No.
Because you guys didn't buy Valkyria Chronicles 2.
Also, Sakura Wars.
I bought it. We bought it.
I thought you were talking to the general public.
No, I'm talking to you.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't have a PSP.
I'm not going to accuse the general public.
Well, you can get it now.
They can't.
It'll play
themselves.
On the Vita.
No, it's a little too late, though. I mean, I doubt my one sale of Valkyria Chronicles 2. And if I just buy it now, they'll be like, this one guy bought it. Let's bring over Valkyria Chronicles 3.
Well,
they're waiting for the sales threshold, and they're one below it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like that thing with the I don't know if you heard a couple months back where Obsidian was going to get a bonus for getting Fallout New Vegas to have a Metacritic rating of 85, and it got an 84.
Yeah.
It's like, why?
Just give them the bonus and it's close
enough.
That's
disgusting. Yeah. The whole situation is just appalling.
It's probably like 84.5 or something.
Yeah. I just hate that thing because I know in our rating system, we're not on Metacritic, and it's probably for the best because we don't quite line up with what they do. But
a 4 out of 5 is not a 60%.
If we gave it a 4, that's pretty good. We're like, you did a pretty good job. It may not be like everyone should run out and buy this game now, but you did a pretty good job with your game. And that would be keeping them from getting their money. And you know what? I don't know, but that's tough.
Yeah.
You shouldn't ever, there should be no contract signed where Metacritic is a thing. I understand sales, But Metacritic, no.
Yeah.
Don't do
it's
it.
It's such like a weird nebulous thing to put in there. Like this.
Yeah.
It's like this odd. Like when I first read that story, I was like, this is a joke. That's not real. And it's just kind of depressing that it is real. It's disgusting.
Yes. Yeah. You know, you don't have to worry about that with localization.
Nope.
They don't care about Metacritic. They care about Famitsu.
No.
Yep.
And sales.
Sales are important.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, fine. I'll say yes.
Now, I did buy Valkyria Chronicles 2, but I did not buy Sakura Wars.
Okay, well, you're part of the problem and the solution. And the reason you're part of the solution is you can just go buy it right now. It's probably in the store.
I do have $70 in GameStop cash.
Okay, well, find it. Go get it.
And that is $20 more than it costs for Xenoblade.
We're going to end this podcast so that you can go buy Soccer Wars, right?
I'll do it on Friday when I'm getting Xenoblade.
But I hope this means you're not going to buy Xenoblade.
No, I said I have 70. That's enough for both.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, good.
Okay, so Xenoblade comes out on Friday and not Tuesday,
Friday.
Right?
Friday.
It's, and yeah, I, it's I can Nintendo. Get it it's never Tuesday. Nintendo?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Without dealing with GameStop.
And yeah, if you want a Classic Controller Pro, you can get a bundle for only $15 more.
Yeah, I would recommend playing that game with the Classic Controller, because that is the way to play that game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have the Classic. I don't have the Pro, GameCube? Though.
What's that?
Does it support the GameCube controller?
No.
Oh, no.
I mean, I assume it does support Wii Mount Nunchuck, and it is functional.
It's functional, but it's not as comfortable for a game like that. But hey, if that's what you got, then it's still fun. Let's end this podcast now.
Okay. All right. For Matt, Sean, and Andrew, I'm Graham. See you guys in 2 weeks.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter @snackbargames.